coming off of a big win against Innsbruck, opposite me, the newest member of the Erste Bank Eishockey Liga coaching elite, Tom Rowe, Lee West Black Wings Linz head coach. And coach, first of all, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's great to meet you and looking forward to spending more time here.
Coach, the win yesterday, I'd categorize it as a pretty big and very important 3 points for you. What's your take on yesterday's game?
No, definitely. I mean, obviously, this organization has never been in the pick round before, so it's new. And I think some of our players were probably a little tentative in the beginning of the game and a little nervous going into the game. So it was good to, once we got going and then, you know, won the game in the end and really had a battle right to the end of the game to win it. It was a big relief for everybody.
Now, you've been to Linz a couple of weeks. Could you lead me through the first time you stepped into the locker room in front of the guys who had just lost their coach and weren't like in the standings where they were supposed to be?
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward. I just came in and explained to the guys this type of system I wanted to play, the philosophy, I said, but more importantly, you know, just show up to the rink every day, work hard. I said, you know, we're going to have some fun doing it. I said, I know you're not enjoying life right now as a hockey player or a team because we're not in a good position. But I said, if we all work together, and I really meant work together and help each other out, I said, we'll definitely find our way. And the guys have been unbelievable. I mean, we've demanded an awful lot. We've changed the systems, I think, quite a bit from the time I got here. From a pace point of view, D-zone coverage is D-zone coverage. You either go man-on-man or you go area coverage. I'm more area coverage. I think that's the best way to go. But at the end of the day, I told the guys, you got to create offense, you got to make plays, and we got to play fast, and we got to play hard.
Now, not only the on-ice product has changed, but also when talking to the guys, the way you guys now practice, not to pick on your predecessor, but what areas did you try to improve? What were your points of emphasis?
I'm always one that you got to practice the way you play. And you can't practice slow, because if you practice slow, that's where you're going to probably end up playing the game. So the big thing I talked about is making sure we had a fast-paced practice. I don't like going to the board explaining drills. I want to do all the explanations of practice in the locker room. So, you know, the assistant coaches and I, we sit down, we plan practice the day before for the following day. And then we go into the locker room probably 25, 30 minutes before we go out, and we explain every drill. But the emphasis has been to practice as fast as you possibly can. Don't worry about making mistakes. You know, once you get used to the pace, then the mistakes are going to go away. And then whatever we do, whether it's D-zone coverage or forecheck, or we're doing our neutral zone transition game, we're going to do it fast. And that was the biggest change probably, and the biggest point of emphasis that we made as a coaching staff.
Now against Innsbruck, you kind of unleashed the beast. There was an unseen amount of physicality by Brian Lebler. Is that something that you try to preach as well? Did you just take whenever it happens?
Well, what we talked about before the game is, you know, we need to be a little bit more physical. I think when you have guys like Lebler and Danny DeSilva or Kevin Kapstad, even Dragan Yumasevic, I mean, when they're playing physical, it helps the rest of their game. And I said, listen, I said, this is playoff hockey. I said, we can't give up any ice easily, and I said we got to make sure Innsbruck fights for every square inch that they get. And what comes with that is being physical within the system. I said we don't want to be running around, but I said there is some physicality in hockey, and I said when you have an opportunity to finish a hit or drive the net and push the D back and get them on their heels, that's how we want to play.
Now I remember, like a couple of weeks back, Christian Pertala, manager of the Lee West Black Wings Linz, sat next to me and told us about the ongoing coaching search. And then things kind of went fast, and 4 days later, you were introduced. Could you lead me through the process, how you first got into contact with the Black Wings, and why then things, well, worked out so fast?
Yeah, it may have seemed fast to you at the time, but heard about Christian and Linz Black Wings from my agent, Patrick Poloni. He had called me probably a month before it even happened, that there potentially could be an opportunity. And so he explained the situation, he explained the organization, and we kept talking, and he kept talking to Christian, but they weren't ready to make the specific change at the time. And then they made the change, and I know Mark took over the team for a couple of games. But, you know, once it was final, and they were ready to move. They wanted me to fly over so Christian and I could meet face to face. So that's pretty much how it happened. You know, Christian and I didn't talk on the phone at all. I flew over here. He wanted to meet me first. I wanted to meet him to see if it would work. Because I told Pat, I said, listen, I don't want to just go anywhere. I said, I'm in a position where I can be a little more selective. And I said, but I want to find the right organization, somebody that has got the same philosophy as I do and the same values. And once I met Christian, I think the two of us got real comfortable really fast. And we liked the conversation, how it was going. I think he liked how I wanted to coach. And I definitely liked how he approached things and how supportive he was of coaches. And I did hear that before I got here, that he was a real supportive general manager, which sometimes when things get rocky isn't always the case. So that was the biggest reason I came, was because of Christian.
Then again, kind of unique that you kind of required a face-to-face meeting and didn't want to talk over the phone. Is it something that you insisted on, something that you just wanted to do, to get a feel for someone?
Yeah, I think it was more he wanted to see me face to face. And then when my agent told me that, when Pat told me that, I said, that's great. I said, because I really don't want to talk on the phone, because you don't get the same feel. And I would have, seriously, if I didn't have a good feeling, I wouldn't have stayed. And I'm sure if he didn't have a good feeling, he wouldn't have offered me the job. So I think it's always important to look at each other in the eyes and see what the reputation is. See what the feeling is. He probably had some questions about my past and he wanted answered, and I wanted to hear a little bit more about what the expectations were coming in here. And at the end of the day, I just wanted to make sure we had a chance to win. And not that, you know, I had to have the best players, but I think it's important when you go into a situation that you have a nucleus of guys who you can work with, and all those boxes were checked off, and that's why I'm here
now. Your career mainly happened in North America. There's one instance where you went to Europe before. Now you're in Central Europe, German-speaking part of it. How big of a culture shock has this been for you?
You know, it really hasn't been too difficult. I spent a year and a half in Russia. I mean, that was a huge culture shock. But I think having that experience and then traveling around in Switzerland when I was with the Russian team for training camps, and then we went to Germany, went to Füssen, Germany for a tournament. You know, I had a pretty good feel for how things were done over here. But like I said to you earlier, I always wanted to come back because I really enjoyed my experience in Russia, and I like the fact that you don't have an 82-game schedule. You have a smaller schedule, so it allows you more time to teach and develop younger players and get your systems implemented. So it hasn't been a culture shock. People in Linz have been unbelievable. Austria, obviously, is a gorgeous country, and people have been real helpful to me.
The time in Russia is a very interesting one because of the time and the place you were coaching. You coached the Lokomotiv Yaroslavl, who prior to you being a head coach there lost the entire team due to a plane crash. Lead me through your arrival in Yaroslavl and like the setting in terms of the atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it was an opportunity. I was asked to go and interview. You know, they had interviewed a bunch of different, you know, European coaches, other North American coaches, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to get the position. And they wanted somebody that could come in and help them, you know, rebuild the program after the devastating plane crash. So I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. You know, I just knew it was going to be a very emotional experience. My wife and I, you know, my wife traveled with me over there, and, you know, we lived it firsthand. But it was sad. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, to see the fan base, which is very similar to the Linz fan base, is very passionate. Every single game sold out. But to see them go through what they went through was really difficult, and especially when we would go on the road. We'd go to a city where a particular player was from that happened to be killed in a plane crash. We would always go to the cemetery and visit the gravesite with the entire team. So over the course of the year, it became very, very draining emotionally and probably more mentally. But it was something that we all felt we needed to do, and, you know, support the city, support the organization, because it was their way of life. It was, you know, the way it was explained to me before I left. They said, as if you're going over to coach the Montreal Canadiens. That's how big of a opportunity it was, and that's how serious they took their hockey.
Now, you're looking back on a long and a mostly successful career, but would you say that this was the toughest assignment you had to ever go through as a coach?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Nothing even comes close. You know, this is by far from making sure and I, during the interview, I probably spent 3.5 hours talking about team chemistry. Yuri Yakovlev was the president, still is the president, and him and I talked about team chemistry, team building. He said, how are you going to, you know, bond everybody together? How are you going to bring all these different personalities who some know each other, some don't? And he said, especially with what happened. And there was a long discussion. The longest interview I probably ever had was about a 12-hour interview broken up into 2 days. And he was very, very more concerned. Yeah, we talked about the style of hockey, but he was more concerned on how I was going to handle the emotional piece and how I was going to mentor the young players. And that was, we spent probably more time talking about that than anything. But it was by far a phenomenal experience, incredibly emotional one, and one that I think developed me more as a person, for sure, and made me a much better coach today.
So, checking off the boxes, you're in a foreign country for the very first time as a professional. You have the devastation, or to deal with the devastation of the plane crash, and you have to start from scratch, basically.
Yeah.
How do you start that program? How do you get things going? What did you do?
Yeah, you know what? We went in. Dmitry Yaskevich was assistant coach, and Nikolai Brzezinski was the other. They both played in North America, played in the NHL, spoke English really well, so they did a lot of translating for me. But, you know, we met beforehand, and I said, listen, I said, we just need to start as if nothing happened, you know. But as time goes on, you know, we're going to start training camp like we normally would. I said, but there are going to be moments where a lot of these kids who are playing for us now, their best friend was on that plane. So we just need to be aware of those emotions. And they were great because, you know, if we were doing a practice and you start leaning on players a little bit to get the most out of them, they would always know who the player was that was having a tough time, because there were moments during the season where players, they were depressed because of what happened to their friend, and the novelty wore off after a while they were really there, because a lot of the players came because their buddies were on the plane and they wanted to help rebuild the franchise and help rebuild the team again. So it was, you know, we went in, you know, just like any other day, but we had to be very, very aware of their mental, emotional peace of mind on any particular day.
You said this situation, this job taught you a lot. What's the biggest takeaway that you use or can use in everyday coaching from that time?
Patience, you know, be a lot more patient, be a lot more, have a lot more empathy towards the players. You know, they're not machines, and they're going to have good days, and they're going to have bad days. And that's, I think, this group of players right now are probably benefiting the most from it. Because we've had a couple of days where I've gotten on them really bad, really hard, and we've really pushed them. But I'd have to say 90% of the time that I've been here, it's been more constructive, a lot of teaching, and been real positive. And I've told the coaches, you know, if we think we can whip these guys every single day, it's not going to work. You know, at some point they lose their energy and enthusiasm for the game. So I think if you talk to any of our players now, they probably enjoy what's going on. And, you know, we're very direct, very upfront with them, but we're not screaming and yelling. You know, the screaming and yelling of coaches is over. And I used to do it. You know, that's the old school. And if you're going to be a good coach and survive in this business, you can't do that anymore. It's got to be more positive.
I mean, there are, even in this league, coaches who like to scream at times, who are known screamers, for the lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Do you know any good screamers as coaches?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say Pat Burns used to be one of those guys. You know, he passed away. I used to be one of those guys, and you got to change your way of doing things. And, you know, Bob Hartley, who a lot of people over here and in Switzerland for sure, he's very, very hard coach. But like
I said, it's a dying breed, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a dying breed. You can't coach like that anymore. And if you think you can coach like that and be successful, you're only going to have success very short term. And you need to be understanding, you need to have patience, and you need to be more of a teacher and make sure the players have got enjoyment.
Now, your career, a lot of individual accolades, and also brought you a Stanley Cup ring. Did the ring make the trip over here as well, or is it safely locked in North America?
No, it's safely locked in my house back in North America. But yeah, it was a great experience. Probably 7 or 8 of those guys who were in Carolina played for me in the American League the year before during the lockout. So it was awfully rewarding to see – how they developed as players with us, and then they go and make the team the very next year, and then go on to win the Stanley Cup. So it was fun. Definitely one of my more rewarding experiences, and especially to sit back in Game 7 against Edmonton and Carolina and watch those guys go crazy when they won. It was a lot of fun.
Now, your last stint as a coach took place in the NHL for the Florida Panthers, and it kind of looks interesting in your CV, coaching the Florida Panthers, coaching then the Lewis Black Wings Lynx. What didn't work out with the Panthers, and then why this transition? Just looking for another hockey adventure?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't work out in Florida. I mean, I went in as the GM there, and you know, there was a coaching change made, and I was asked by ownership to go behind the bench on an interim basis. And to be totally upfront and honest with you, the players weren't happy about it. You know, they really liked Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant did a great job. But at the time, the decision was made as a group that, you know, to move on and bring somebody else in. And I was just going to coach to the end of the year, which I did. But at the end of the year, obviously, things didn't work out. We didn't go to the playoffs. And then ownership decided to make a wholesale change and bring Dale Tallon back as the GM. So that's it in a nutshell. You know, just the players are very upset about it because they like Gerard a lot. So that's a big part of why I don't think it worked out. The players just, they tried hard and everything, but their minds were other places. So when I got terminated, I felt, okay, it's time to move on, maybe take some time off. But I always, and my wife and I have always talked about it, going back to Europe and, you know, and living in a country where you can enjoy the experience, you know, learn a new culture. But I always wanted to coach again in Europe just because of the philosophy, the size of the rink, and most places here, most teams here have got a feeder system of youth hockey and junior teams that you can help develop and build so you have a good team every single year. And that's kind of what I'm hoping we can build here in Linz.
Now, after coming to Linz, you mentioned the fan aspect, also from Yaroslav, pretty intense crowds here at the rinks, even though Linz's home field advantage hasn't been as good as in the years past. Mm-hmm. What can you say about the first impressions of home crowd so far and fans in Linz?
Well, it's been amazing, short of amazing. When I came out to watch the first warm-up, I couldn't believe the place was just about full. And what I love about the fans here is they're into it. They're singing. They're, you know, always cheering. So I told the guys, I said, listen, I said, we're in the entertainment business. And I said, the best way to get a home field advantage or a home court advantage is to go out and work hard, play aggressive hockey, move the puck around, play a lot of offense. And I said, we got to use this building as our seventh man. And that's kind of how, you know, I wanted to promote it, because I knew they had a great fan base. I had been told that because a couple of players that I coached had played here, and they said I was going to a great place. But you don't really know until you experience firsthand. And the first night here, it was pretty exhilarating. I was as excited standing on the bench here the first night as I was in the NHL. So that's probably the best way that I could explain it to you.
You've seen many rinks. You've also seen many players. You've played with them, played against them, coached with them, coached against them. Is there one player in particular that stands out because of things that he brings to the table? One guy you look back on and say, wow, it was a pleasure playing with him or coaching with him?
Yeah, that's an easy one. And everybody will know this name is Alexander Barkov, who's in Florida. And I played with some great players, and I've coached some great players, but I don't think I've ever coached anybody like him. He's such a young athlete, and he takes his craft so serious on the ice and off the ice. Just the time that he puts into his dry land training and his conditioning, and then all the extra work he does in the gym just with sticks and pucks. He's always working on his game, and then you can see him perform in the game. It's amazing. Nobody can intimidate him. You know, there's not a team in the NHL or a person in the NHL that can intimidate him, because he doesn't get intimidated, and his personality, he's calm all the time. So when it comes crunch time and you need a big player, you need a big goal, most of the time he's going to deliver. But no, by far, and I'd have to say it's probably not even close, he is by far the best player I've ever coached.
Question was kind of a setup for the next one, because this team was put together without a lot of your inputs, obviously, mm-hmm. because you weren't there. But if you had to put additions into this team, what's the single most important trait that you're looking for in a player?
Well, character is something that I think you have to have. There's a lot of skill.
But that's the easy answer. Everybody says character. What specific character trait?
Well, I want a guy that's going to go into a corner knowing that he's going to get hit, but he's going to go in the corner anyway and win the battle. And I think you saw more of that last night than you've had seen in other games. And then that was the area that we kept harping on is you can have all the skill in the world. But I said, if you don't show up every day and compete, that skill is useless because it's never going to get exposed. You're never going to be able to be a good player because you're never going to use it enough because you're not competing hard enough. And one goes hand in hand. I mean, you got to have skill to at least a certain degree. So when I'm building a team or when Chris and I sit down and start talking about a team, there's got to be a combination of that. Now, everybody's not going to be skilled, but the one thing everybody can do is work hard. So what we want to do is bring guys in here that, you know, when they put that black wing jersey on, they're putting it on with a lot of pride. And the next thing is you got to believe in yourself. You know, the big thing we've spent here the last 3.5-4 weeks almost now is building confidences. You know, I want these young Austrian players to know that they can play with anybody in the world. And that was the one thing I found when I got here. They were kind of always, you know, taking a little bit of a back seat, and I grabbed all of them. And I've told the entire team, I said, listen, you're here to help win a hockey game. It doesn't matter if you're Austrian, North American, whatever you are, you're here to help us win. And the Austrian kids, and I'm not saying this because I'm on Austrian TV station or radio, they're quality kids, and they bring a lot to the table that help us win. And I was just, my job has just been to get them feeling good about themselves and their game, and then their skills and work ethic will take over. So, you know, it's a good question, but it's a simple question too. You gotta have some courage, and you gotta have some character. And if you don't have that, you know, you can have all the skill that you want. There's a graveyard full of skilled guys that have no character. So I think they go hand in hand.
Now, we've been talking about this earlier. Today is Monday, and Monday is also like the regular day for a sit-down with the head of your youth program, Bobby Lucas. Yeah. How did that come about, and who approached whom first?
I talked to Phil, his brother, who works here for us. I said, we need to have good communication between Bobby and myself. And I said, I want to know what he's doing. He needs to know what we're doing. So I think it was mutual, but I definitely initiated it because, you know, I hadn't seen much of Bobby. I heard a lot about him, but I hadn't seen him around the office. And I said, hey, well, why doesn't he come into the locker room, you know, when we're here just talking and get caught up on some things? He said, well, you know, he's new to his job and we really haven't had the time to do that. And I said, well, we got to start meeting every single Monday. So we met this morning at 11. We met last week at 11. And we're talking about the young kids, you know. I said, Bobby, tell me who the young guys are that you want to get a chance here. Because I said, I don't know them. And I said, you're the one running the program. So if there's a kid we should have up here for practice, let's get him up here. Or if there's somebody we can use in the game, let's use him. That's the only way we're going to build this program. And it's the only way the kids are going to have any light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we're asking them to go to the gym workout. We're asking them to be dedicated on and off the ice. But if they don't think there's a chance here on the first team, then you're going to lose their enthusiasm. So that's why we're doing it.
So a lot of new things being implemented as we speak. One of the questions on a lot of fans' mind, of course, is extension. Has there already been talks, or is there going to be a point where you're trying to bring that up?
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely want to come back. There's no doubt about that. I think, you know, both sides, we want to continue this going forward, but nothing has been talked about in detail yet. Let's just be honest with each other. They want to see if I get the team into the playoffs, right? And that's what it's about. And it's all about results. And I know the president, the vice president here, and Christian, they want to see the results first before they start talking about giving me an extension, you know, for next year. So that's where it's at. Just being honest with you and up front, do I want to come back? Yes. Do I wish it was settled right now? Yeah, that'd be good. But I understand the situation. And I was told coming in that this was for the rest of the year. And then let's reevaluate as we go forward.
Now, the last question is a little different than usual because there's only one championship. So naturally, 11 out of the 12 teams are going to have or going to be kind of disappointed at the season's end. But what has to happen even without the championship for you to say after the season, it's been a good year or been a good half a year in Linz?
I think if we can sit here when the season's over, regardless when it's over, and see that the players have bought in to the new system and bought into the way we're doing things now, from conditioning to the way we practice to the way we're playing in the games every single day and practicing every single day the right way, if we see that consistent, then it's been a success. Because over time, when you do that, the players are going to get better, and you're going to win. Yeah, you're going to lose some games, but you're probably going to end up winning a lot more games than losing. So that'll be, for me, that's going to be the telltale, is if they're totally bought into how we're doing things both on the ice and off the ice. And the games are easy, but it's the practices, and it's in the gym and spending the amount of time in dry land and getting in great shape that you have to, and it's painful to do it. But if they're doing it and doing it willingly, then it's been a success.
Perfect. I'll leave it at that. No better words to close this. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us, and all the best for the rest of the games in the qualification round.
Thank you very much, Martin. I appreciate it.